When we preachers get our list of dates to preach on, Andy helpfully puts a little heading next to the details of the passage we are to preach on, giving us a steer on how to read the text in question. The note next to today's reading says, God meets human need when we give what we have. God meets human need when we give what we have. And we have heard a great example of this in our Bible passage today. The little boy who, in giving his packed lunch, provided the foundation for the feast, which fed so many people. And the Bible is full of stories of generosity. There are so many that it's obvious that this is a core principle of our faith. Stories like the woman who anointed Jesus with precious oil, and the Good Samaritan who paid for the injured man's care. And these stories are often challenging to us. They say, what are you giving? The one which always gets to me and often makes me tear up is the story of the widow's mite. The poor lady who, as Mark says, out of her poverty has put in everything that she had, all she had to live on. This story challenges me with the question at the heart of Christian giving, how much is enough? And I marvel at the way that the generosity of the people in these stories shows the extent to which they depend on God to provide. And the way that this frees them to mirror the generosity of God to the people around them. The way it frees them to live like the ancient Hebrews wandering in the desert, dependent on God day by day for their daily bread. But as much as I stand in awe at the behaviour of these characters and wish that I was more like them, there is a giving even beyond this that we encounter in the Bible. A giving not just of money or food or possessions, which we depend on for life, but the gift of life itself. Jesus' gift of his very self for the sake of others. And this is what came into my mind when I read that sentence of Andy's next to the Bible reading. God meets human need when we give what we have. Jesus' gift of himself, which is also God's gift of himself, which, of course, in the mystery of the Trinity, also means God's gift of his Son. A gift which met human need in a way nothing else could. I've mentioned Mark Iaconelli previously in a sermon. He is a great storyteller. And today I'm going to share with you a story which I heard him tell, which I think sums up today's theme better than I could myself. It's a story which picks up on a phrase from our reading today, where Jesus sees the crowd and says he has compassion for them. It's a story which starts with seeing and feeling compassion and ends with a gift. Mark talks about an encounter he saw, which I think gets to the heart of the gift our faith asks of us, the gift of ourselves. Mark writes, "This is a little icon I keep in my head of the way in which God works with us. It was Christmas time in Iowa, about 3 days before Christmas. I thought I'd better do some Christmas shopping for my family. They were expecting something from me, it turns out. So I was doing the absolutely American ritual of running through stores, running from one shop to another, trying to find something I could buy to make it look like I'd put a lot of thought into it. Having successfully located the perfect gift, I sat in the food court of the mall, wolfing down Chinese food. Suddenly, into the cluster of brightly lit food stalls came 10 developmentally disabled folks, accompanied by 2 assistants with sweatshirts that read, "The Redwoods Group Home." In contrast to the hustling and harried shoppers, these folks lumbered otherworldly through the tables and crowds, smiling and sometimes clapping their hands or yelling with genuine pleasure at the sights and smells of the eating arena. With slow and careful efforts, the assistants helped each person decide on the food they wanted to purchase, stand in line, order a meal, pay for the meal, and then carry the food back to a table. The assistants were patient and spent much of the time conversing and sharing in the excitement of the disabled folks, who were ecstatic about the personal sovereignty they were afforded amidst so many tasty delights. The assistants patiently helped people get their food and get seated before serving themselves. There was one man with Down syndrome who shook off every offer of help from the assistants. He knew what he wanted, and he wanted to do it by himself. The assistants acquiesced, and watching him from a safe distance, let him walk to the McDonald's booth and stand in line. The young man stood with import and dignity, holding some sort of worn red and yellow coupon in his hand. When he reached the front of the line, he handed the paper over to the cashier, spoke loudly, and gestured towards a stack of various cups and the coffee machine. The cashier obliged, and a few moments later, the young man returned to his friends, holding a giant 32-ounce cup of coffee, his face beaming with pride. I stood up to hit one last store before going home. After my final purchase, I headed for the parking lot through 2 smoky glass doors. As I step outside the mall, I notice all of these people lined up on the outside of the mall. And what's happening is that there is this incredible rainstorm. It's just dumping rain. And so all the peoples from the Redwoods community are just lined up against the wall. And their companions and accompaniers are standing outside with them, telling them, "Okay, stay here. We're going to have the bus come up, and then we're all going to get into the bus." And I see this guy standing there with his coffee. And as I am also standing there away from the rain, I see the bus come up. And the accompanier says, "Okay, let's go. We're going to do this one at a time." And she starts to escort one person at a time to the bus. Well, the man with the coffee is not understanding the system. He sees the bus. He knows he's supposed to get there. So in the confusion, he starts to run to the bus. And he drops his coffee. It falls to the sidewalk. And this thing just starts to move out across this grey sidewalk like a mudslide, just pouring larger and larger and larger. And he just freezes, and everything in him collapses. His whole body goes soft, and he begins to cry. And he just falls down on the sidewalk, right in the middle of this puddle of coffee. Right with the rain pouring there on him, he just sits there and is broken, and he begins to weep. And I'm just standing there watching, and the other assistants start saying, "No, no, don't sit there. Come on, get up. We've got to get you to the bus." And suddenly, I watch the woman who is his accompanier. She was on the bus, and she gets off the bus. And she tells the other accompaniers and assistants, "No, go ahead, get everyone else on the bus." And she walks over to him. And very tenderly, she sits down in the coffee and the rain and the wet and wraps her arms around this man. Just lets him weep. And after 4 or 5 minutes, they are both drenching wet. They both have soggy coffee bottoms. She helps him up. She takes him to the bus. She takes off her own sweatshirt and sets it on the chair for him to sit on. And then she goes to the back of the bus and sits with the other folks, and they drive off. And I am left a mess. I'm standing there watching this, and it becomes an icon of the way in which God seeks to hold us. An icon of what would happen if we were to allow ourselves to grow soft hearts so that we can give ourselves to each other. When I heard Mark Giaconelli tell this story, he went on to unpack what he had learned from the experience. He talked about how this woman didn't let the thought of what she might look like or the shame of this stop her giving herself to the young man who needed her. How she was willing to do a low status, low pay job, but how in living into this role, she was able to be the hands of God in a situation. How her co-workers probably didn't understand what she did that day and thought she was stupid for doing it. And how the young man might not even be able to say thank you. But she did it anyway. How, like God, when he came into the world as a human being, she stepped out of her place of comfort and safety and stepped down into the mess and discomfort of the situation she saw in order to bring healing love into it. And I would add to all of this, how, like Andy's instruction said, she was able to meet human need by giving of herself. I found this story inspirational when I first heard it at a Christian festival 15 years ago, and it continues to move me, no matter how many times I revisit it. And I think that the reason I find it so moving is that it gives me hope that it is possible for us to be a human mirror of the gift God gave us in coming to us as Jesus, the gift of himself for ourselves. In a way, it does what Jesus did. It gives a human face to God's self-giving love. And it shows us how we might start to do the same in our own lives. How we can do this by worrying more about how to meet need in love by giving of ourselves than about what other people might think of us. And it shows us how this frees us up to show up and act for the good in the lives of others. How it frees us to do what Jesus did, to incarnate the gift of God's love in the realities of our real, messy daily lives. It shows us how to give when we think we have nothing to offer. How to give, as Christina Rossetti says in her hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter, when all we have to offer is our heart. It teaches us that when we give, like the boy and his loaves and fishes in today's reading, what we have in the hand of God, it can become a feast of love, able to nourish more than we could have dreamed of. The lady in Mark Giaconelli's story probably has no idea that the story of her self-giving that day was seen, and it inspired Mark. And that now it has inspired countless people all around the world and changed lives and caused countless more actions of love and self-giving. She does not realise that the gift of her small offering of herself in love has multiplied beyond conception feeding many thousands of people in their hearing of it. And so, when people dismissed the parable of the feeding of the 5,000 as impossible, I smile to myself, and I think of all the ways we have in our lives to feed others, and the mystery of what happens next when we offer ourselves in love. We will never know what becomes of what we give, how our actions may set off a chain of other actions. We may be tricked into thinking that because we don't see the effects of our giving immediately, that it didn't work or it meant nothing. But what our story today shows is that while we can only see what is in front of our face, that is never the whole picture. And we should never let ourselves be discouraged in what we give or offer or do. As Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So I encourage you to take comfort in the knowledge that God can use whatever we have to offer. And in his hands he can make our scraps into a banquet which can feed thousands, like in the story, although we may know nothing of it. So keep giving, keep loving, and keep sharing, whether you see the rewards or not. Let us pray. Strengthen us, Lord, to be people who can give. We sometimes feel we have nothing of value to offer. We forget that we are of infinite value, and that in giving our hearts, we can each give something which no one else can. May we look for and find places where we can give ourselves in love. And may our small gifts become, in your hands, food for others, for more than we could ever have imagined. Food which brings people closer to you. Amen.